George Capanelli here. Welcome to another edition of Age Nation Radio Magazine, where people, passion, and purpose meet.
And I'm Alan Huttner. We're your hosts at the place where boomers, elders, and conscious members of younger generations come to listen, learn, and participate in a lifestyle revolution. Join us for in-depth interviews with world-class experts and authors, provocative commentaries, humorous and informative special features interspersed with some great music.
Our topic today, love by any other name is not love. We're going to look at the most talked about, sought after, and misunderstood experience in life and explore how we can get from longing for it to living it and sharing it. You'll also join Sedina and me for the first part of a lively and provocative interview with wise woman, best-selling author, and social innovator Jean Houston.
We also have our music interludes today with Van Morrison, Have I Told You Lately, Aretha Franklin, Save Me, and Nat King Cole with Natalie Cole, Unforgettable. Our special features today, Sedina will bring another enlivened aging strategy to you. George and I will also do a You've Got to Be Kidding news segment. And today, George has a provocative commentary for the close.
So welcome to Age Nation Radio Magazine, where people come to celebrate living consciously and aging wisely in the 21st century. You know, there's a very short quote by Mother Teresa. It's a quote, a suggestion. Actually, it's a two-word manual for life. She says, give love. And her quote leads us into our topic today, which is love by any other name is not love. The quote by Mother Teresa has a story attached to it. Apparently, she was visiting Boston, and at the end of a Sunday morning mass, she and the pastor retired to the rectory for a light lunch. As they sat there, the doorbell rang. The priest excused himself, tended to the door, and then returned to eat his lunch. This process repeated a few more times. Finally, Mother Teresa asked him if everything was okay. Yes, the priest said. It's just that on Sunday, I always make some extra food for the homeless. And knowing this, they come by after Mass. I see, Mother Teresa said. And what do you give them? A sandwich, generally. And is that all you give them? She asked. Well, sometimes I give them a drink. And she said, anything more? Thinking that Mother Teresa considered his gifts of food insufficient, the priest explained that he had a modest budget and was giving all that he could afford. Mother Teresa, however, was not deterred by his explanation. She asked again, is there really nothing more you can give? Suddenly the priest smiled and he said, yes, Mother, I could give love.
Yes, we can. Sounds like a familiar political theme. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We can give love. What a gift. And what an essential and critical topic on our road toward finding greater meaning and purpose in our lives. Indeed, to be alive is to be within love's force field and to be inextricably drawn and at other times repelled by this remarkable, troubling, seductive, and extraordinarily confounding emotion of love. History, of course, is a record of both its impact and its absence. Countless empires have been won and lost because of it. Armies launched, crowns gained or denied, rich or poor, it doesn't matter, we're all subject to its call. Families have been brought together and others torn apart. Religious schisms birthed and careers made and lost, all in its name. Some of us, in fact, spend our entire lives in service to what we define as love, while others, pushed and pulled, badgered and damaged by early encounters with it, do all that we can to do to avoid it. And yet, in the end, we are all under its spell.
Love makes the world go round, they say. Love is wonderful the second time around. Love means never having to say you're sorry. Yes, from the sublime to the trivial, love is the currency of rock and movie stars. It's the territory in which heroes and heroines thrive and villains and ladies of ill repute suffer. Love is that mysterious territory where the sacred and profane meet. Love is one of those words that is rarely used in the corridors of government, in the bastions of corporate privilege, or even on the playing fields and courts of competitive sports, except, of course, in speeches, memorial services, and in those unguarded moments called victory celebrations.
Under love's spell, some of us breathe all that is fine and noble, all that is pure and innocent, elevated and divine, and yet in the blink of an eye also taste the deepest despair and unnameable agony, which even seems to be exacerbated at these times. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, intense. And when we glimpse one of its faces, we can get dizzy from its earthy scent and overwhelmed by its raw and powerful pulse. Yes, love is something, isn't it? From biological and hormonal racings to the emotions and subtleties of the heart, it is the brass ring so many of us seek and the milk on which most of us long to suckle. Love is the gossamer's dream we chase, and in the chasing suffer some of our deepest wounds and achieve some of our greatest breakthroughs. So why all this talk about love? Aside from its great healing properties, unconditional love is a necessary and most important next step on the road toward living the lives we are born to live. So we invite you to stop and to examine the role love plays in your life, to determine if the beliefs you hold about it and the knowing of what it is and the ways you practice it and share it limit or propel you to your next level of consciousness.
So, is love as you know it fact or fantasy, real or illusion? Is the love you experience and express more about giving or getting? Is this thing mystics and poets describe, is it that? Or is it more like the tawdry glitter of bangles and beads that contemporary society tempts us with? Is your love found only in traditional churches and formal prayer, or can also find it in primitive chants and aboriginal rites? Is your love that which is depicted on soap operas and promised in Victoria's Secret catalogs? Does what you call love drive you wild with jealousy and passion, lead you into obsessions and possessions? Is your love that tender, extraordinary thing you feel when we stand in the doorway of our child's rooms at night, or when we watch our partner sleeping peacefully beside us? Is your love what you see in the eyes of a faithful dog who awaits you each morning for his walk?
A lot of great questions to answer about love, and a few more. Does your love influence the choices you make in your daily affairs? Does it justify your lashing out, disowning, and disenfranchising others? Is your love at the root of your desire to control, to own, or to manipulate? Does your love send you on quest to accomplish that which seems impossible? Yes, love is a complex, multidimensional vibration, but one thing is clear, from Eve's first reported seduction to Beyoncé shaking her charms, from Atlas lifting his awesome burden to Brad Pitt flashing his boyish smile, we are all captivated by and rocked in its wake. Yes, even though one out of every two marriages ends in divorce, we still consummate our unions with astounding frequency, enormous courage, and remarkably little hesitation.
Are we down on love? No, if anything, the more encounters we have with this experience, the more we both know that to arrive at true center, to explore and eventually experience a life of greater meaning and purpose, we must be willing to put this most precious commodity under the microscope of truth and discover if the beliefs we hold lead us toward or away from love.
Come back to the revolution. Age Nation Radio.
Every now and then, special people come together to do something special. May through November, on the beautiful retreat campus at Unity Village, Missouri, 16 leading wisdom keepers of our time will guide you on six remarkably transformative weekend journeys called Navigating Your Future. Jean Houston, Joan Borsenko, Bruce Lipton, Barbara Marx Hubbard, Neil Donald Walsh, Gary Zukav, Ram Dass, Hazel Henderson, George Capanelli, and Sedina Capanelli, Barbara DeAngelis, and more will lift your spirits, touch your heart, and share their unique gifts to support you in living the life you were born to live. Hosted by Age Nation and Awaken Whole Life Center, details at NavigatingYourFuture.com. Take Mark Twain's sage advice. Throw off the bow lines. Catch the winds in your sail. Explore, dream, discover. NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com. Be there.
Over 40 and looking for answers to the challenges and remarkable opportunities ahead. Are you under 40 and want to know more about the world you'll soon inherit? Then Do Not Go Quietly is the perfect book for you. Inspiring, empowering, full of practical guidance, this best-selling book has already won 3 2013 book awards. It is a powerful call to action and to a life of genuine purpose for those who weren't born yesterday. Wise woman Jean Houston says it's profound, compassionate, and deeply useful. So live the life you were born to live, and remember, you're never too old or too young to live your dreams. Available on Amazon.com, at Barnes & Noble, and bookstores everywhere. For free downloads, interviews, and a lot more, visit DoNotGoQuietlyTheBook.com.
Come back to the revolution, Age Nation Radio.
Dina and George Capanelli, today we're honored to have a conversation with wisdom keeper Jean Houston. Jean is a scholar, philosopher, and researcher in human capacities, visionary thinker and doer, one of the most incredible visionary thinkers and doers of our time. She's long regarded as one of the principles of the human potential movement. Jean is noted for her ability to combine a deep know-how of culture, new science, spirituality, and human development into her teaching. And Jean has authored 26 books, including Jump Time, A Passion for the Possible, Search for the Beloved, Life Force, The Possible Human, Public Like a Frog, A Mythic Life, Learning to Live Our Greater Story, and Man and a Manual of the Peacemaker. Most recently, a wonderful new book, The Wizard of Us, which we will talk about today. So Jean also serves as an advisor to UNICEF in human and cultural development. She served in an advisory capacity to President and Mrs. Clinton, as well as assisting Mrs. Clinton in her writing of her book, It Takes a Village and Other Lessons Children Teach Us. Buckminster Fuller, renowned American philosopher, thinker, visionary inventor, poet, and cosmologist, said, Jean Houston's mind should be considered a national treasure.
So welcome, Jean. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
It was so good to be with you, George and Sedina. Thank you for having me.
It's a long introduction, but the truth of the matter is
Go on and on.
We could indeed, and we believe that honoring our wisdom keepers is a critical part of our mission. Jean, today, obviously, you have a body of work. We could spend days and days and only scratch the surface, you know. And unfortunately, radio only gives us a limited amount of time. But one of the things we want to be sure to do in the time we do have is to help listeners, both those who are already familiar with you and those who may be hearing you for the first time, to understand something more about the woman behind the work, you know. Mm-hmm. So, if you don't mind, I'd love to begin just a little bit about your early life. I mean, you were born in New York. From our dialogue, I know that your father, Jack, was a comedy writer and that you had a very rich and vibrant life in New York. So could you tell us a little bit about your childhood and how some of that sets the stage for this extraordinary life you've lived?
Well, it wasn't just New York. I was born in New York, but when I was 7 months old, we were on the road because Dad was writing the Bob Hope Show, among many others, and Bob was doing his shows at army camps, and we went along. And so I probably went to 20 schools before I was 12 years old.
And I had a wonderful girl be, huh?
Yeah, and of course that was America in the 40s, when if you were in school in Biloxi, Mississippi one day and Bemidji, Minnesota the next, you were in totally different realities. So very early in my life, I set the fractal for a lot of travel. To date, I have worked in 108 countries and intensively in about 40 cultures. But it all began there then, you know, in this tremendous opportunity that I had. Now, we always came back to my favorite school, which was PS6 in Manhattan.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And PS6, which was then on Madison Avenue and 86th Street, was the not only was everybody from all over the world there, but it was a John Dewey-oriented school,
uh-huh.
which meant we were taken to meet the great elders of the time, the great elders. And who were two of them? Well, we were taken to meet Helen Keller.
Mm.
And, you know, and she spoke to us in that awesome voice of someone who has never heard speech. And I, you know, she was blind and could not hear, you know, and just had the remaining filaments of her senses, you know, touch. And I was so moved by what she said that when they said, does any child want to come up and speak to Miss Keller, my hand shot up. I had no idea at all what I was going to say. But I knew I had to talk to her, and I went up and she placed her entire hand on my face, and with the center of her hand, she read my words, and with her other fingers, she read my expression, my character, and I blurted out with a child's savage honesty, "Why are you so happy?" And she laughed and laughed and laughed, and she said, and I'm going to imitate what, to me, as I remember her voice sounded like, because she did speak, she said, "My child, it is because I live each day as if it were my last, and life in all its moments is so full of glory." And life in all its moments is so full of glory. Boy, did that get to me. Was she damaged? Yes. But was she damaged? Not at all. She had really entered into a fullness of receptivity to the world, the universe, and became, of course, as you know, one of the great, great midwives of souls, one of the great evocateurs. She was probably in her 70s at that time.
Amazing.
And then they took us to meet Albert Einstein. They trotted us across the river to Princeton. And people say, what do you remember? What do you remember? I say, well, he had a great deal of hair, and he seemed a little vague. And as I recall, and maybe I'm recalling it wrong, but he had two different colored socks on. was very, very sweet and gentle.
Aww.
Well, we were these snarly New York kids, and one of them asked, "Mr. Einstein, how can we get to be as smart as you?" And he said, "Read the fairy tales." And, well, we didn't like that answer at all. Another snarly kid said, "Mr. Einstein, and how can we get to be smarter than you?" And he said, "Read more fairy tales." And by that, he meant activate your imagination,
yeah.
You know. Really go into your mind, I mean, be inspired with images, with myths, with metaphors, with the great adventures of the soul, and that then activates the human mind, the human spirit, you know.
Gene, is it Einstein that has that quote that logic will get you from A to B or something, but
and
that,
imagination will take you everywhere.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As I remember, yes, he did say that, but I was there when he... put it in the most dramatic terms. Anyway, so doing all those traveling, picking up so many different ways of being, which then continued, as I said, throughout my whole life. And I think also as a very young girl, when I was 14, I ran into an old man, knocked him down, and he said, "Are you planning to run like that for the rest of your life?" I said, "Yes, sir, it looks that way." He said, "Well... you know, bon voyage." And the following week, I met him with my dog, Champ, my fox terrier. He said, "Oh, that dog, you have a fox terrier. I knew one many years ago in France. Where are you going?" And I said, "I was going to Central Park." He said, "I will go with you sometime. I will take my constitutional." And he was something. I called him, he had a long name, but I called him by what seemed to be the first part of it, which to me, my American ear, sounded like Mr. Taylor. Well, we walked from my 14th to my 17th year, off and on. And he says, "Jean, the people of your time will be taking the tiller of the world. But they cannot go directly. You must touch every culture, every people." He was talking about the harvest of the world's intelligence because we were headed toward what he called the newosphere, which was the field of mind, the field of creativity, the field of the world mind taking a walk with itself. Well, he was, you know, and he took me very seriously, 14, 15, you know, years old. And but at the same time, he taught me so many things. And he, above all, he taught me about evolution, about the great becoming, about the nature of human possibility, of human destiny. I mean, it was really truly an extraordinary life that I had with him. Well, years later, I met him under a very interesting, years later, I found out that this man that I had been walking with, he was Teilhard de Chardin.
Oh, my goodness.
And that is who it was. He lived across the street from me at the, I guess, the Jesuit Rectory of St. Ignatius. He was utterly fascinating. So I was very open to meeting old people and talking to them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's how it happened, really.
And you were enormously blessed with the old people that you were meeting.
Yes, is true, yeah. I was talking to I'm not supposed to say this, but Dag Hammarskjöld, like, late at night sometimes, you know, on the phone. So Teilhard, and then, of course, Margaret Mead came into my life early. So I took these people very seriously, and so they took me seriously, and they laid down for me a ways of knowing and thinking and being that have added to what I call my mythic life.
You're listening to Age Nation Radio. It's a state of mind.
Every now and then, special people come together to do something special. May through November, on the beautiful retreat campus at Unity Village, Missouri, 16 leading wisdom keepers of our time will guide you on 6 remarkably transformative weekend journeys called Navigating Your Future. Jean Houston, Joan Borsenko, Bruce Lipton, Barbara Marks Hubbard, Neil Donald Walsh, Gary Zukav, Ram Dass, Hazel Henderson, George Capanelli, and Sedina Capanelli, Barbara DeAngelis, and more will lift your spirits, touch your heart, and share their unique gifts to support you in living the life you were born to live. Hosted by Age Nation and Awaken Whole Life Center, details at navigatingyourfuture.com. Take Mark Twain's sage advice. Throw off the bow lines. Catch the winds in your sail. Explore, dream, discover. NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com. Be there.
Over 40 and looking for answers to the challenges and remarkable opportunities ahead. Are you under 40 and want to know more about the world you'll soon inherit? Then Do Not Go Quietly is the perfect book for you. Inspiring, empowering, full of practical guidance, this best-selling book has already won 3 2013 book awards. It is a powerful call to action into a life of genuine purpose for those who weren't born yesterday. Wise woman Jean Houston says it's profound, compassionate, and deeply useful. So live the life you were born to live, and remember, you're never too old or too young to live your dreams. Available on Amazon.com, at Barnes & Noble, and bookstores everywhere. For free downloads, interviews, and a lot more, visit DoNotGoQuietlyTheBook.com.
Stop waiting. Now's the time. Age Nation Radio.
All right, we are back. Alan Huttner here, along with my buddy George Capanelli, co-hosting here on Age Nation Radio Magazine. Our Jean Houston segment, I didn't know that much about her history before that. She's been on Transitions Radio Magazine for years from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And I particularly mention, I remember the book Jump Time, which Sedina mentioned in the interview. Because she was, when that book came out, which is probably 15 years ago, she was predicting everything that's happening right now in the intensity of these times, the revolution that was coming up, and that, like Barbara Marx Hubbard talks about, this chrysalis, the butterfly metaphor, you know, we're in the goo. And I've always loved her, not only as a visionary and new paradigm leader, but she's prophetic. She seems to have seer capacities.
Yeah, she's clearly a woman of great substance. You know, whenever I've had the pleasure, really, of spending personal time with her, I'm always struck by the dignity that she has and the great presence. And when you realize the background that she had and all of the things that she accomplished and the people that she was gifted to spend time with as a child, you can begin to understand the weight and the depth of her being.
Well, dignity is really an interesting word that you use for her. And I've always felt that she was, I would think of a classy person and very well educated and an intellectual, but yet she matches the heart. It's like the third eye and the sixth chakra and the fourth chakra. She has blended that all together. And the other thing that struck me about her was her travels, 108 countries and 40 different cultural experiences. And I wonder, that was really good in that time, and she brought that all forward. And now I think the traveling needs to change a little. It's not about external. I think we need to travel on our inner journey. Really, that's important, as she brought out that Einstein said, you know, cultivate your imagination. So it's not necessarily about the 3D world. It's about the inner dreams and fairy tales. And I guess, do you get into the Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, I think in the next segment, you know, it was a multiple segment interview as we're accustomed to doing. But I think actually one of the things that makes Jean so unique is that she has both. You know, she's capable of journeying within, and yet she matches it by a practical understanding of these cultures and these places in the world. And I just love, you know, phrases that she uses, like the great becoming and human destiny in a particular way. And you can hear Desjardins and Dag Hammarskjöld and Margaret Mead and other people that she was close to speak in these terms. And so I'm just privileged to call her a friend and a supporter, and your experiences with her. Oh. And it's gracious to have her on the show. It's nice to bring some of the best to our listeners.
Well, I remember a time with her where the Native Roots and Rhythms concerts were happening at Palo Solari during Indian Market Week, and it was always 3,000 people and indigenous people. And Jean was in town, and I said, you know, let us take you to the concert. And we sat with her, and, you know, I was honored because it was Jean Houston, and yeah, she had this great experience.
So next week, we'll come back with another segment of Jean's interview. So it's time for You Gotta Be Kidding. Each week, Alan and I look at some things in the news that really do define what a crazy world we're living in. And also sometimes things that give us great hope. Today we're going to look at the crazy side. This is called Five Things America Leads the World In. And this information is from Care2, the online site that is really a terrific place. America, the land of the brave and the free. America, the best country in the world. That's how many Americans like to speak of our country, and indeed it's the reason many immigrants see the U.S. As the land of their dreams. There's another side, however, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today, about some things that America leads in. Obesity, for example. Arriving in the U.S. as an immigrant, I was amazed at the size of restaurant portions, the writer says, so it's no surprise to learn that the U.S. has been ranked as the most obese country in the world. Obesity is indeed a national health crisis and contributes to an estimated 100 to 400,000 deaths per year. In 2012, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported that 35.7% of American adults are obese, as well as 17% of children and adolescents.
I'd love to know what the cost of that is, you know? For all of us, like healthcare, and let me jump into this one here, and I'll go back and forth with you here, George, on some of these points about care too. Individuals spend more money per person on healthcare in the U.S. than in any other country in the world, about $5,300 annually in comparison to Switzerland, $3,500. Japan, $2,000. And Turkey is as little as $446 per person each year. The main reason for the high cost of American healthcare is that most medical services, materials, technologies, and drugs are more expensive than in any other industrialized countries. I hate to say this. I'm an ex-pharmaceutical executive. As you know, George, 12 years, we made a lot of money, and we were always blamed on research, and that's not the case. It's continued 30 years later. So too much money in multinational corporate pharmaceutical hands, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. Another thing that America leads in is, according to the New York Times commissioned analysis, the total average cost of having a baby is $37,341.
And that's absurd.
Especially considering the fact that women used to give birth in fields, put their baby on their back, and keep working. That's not an indication of what people should be doing today. But $37,341 by comparison, or rather that includes prenatal care of $7,000, birth almost 19,000, postpartum care 528, newborn medical care 12,000. It's just incredible. And, you know, insurance doesn't help. 62% of private plans come with no maternity coverage.
Yeah.
So we lead in it. What else do we
Well, if my partner Elizabeth was here, she'd also point out about cesareans. Quick, fast, more money for the doctors. Get it out, you know. Energy use per person. The U.S. is the global leader in the amount of energy used per person. Specifically, the U.S. is number one in electricity consumption, in oil consumption, and number two in coal consumption, right behind China. The U.S. Energy Information Administration reports that Americans account for nearly 19% of planet Earth's total primary energy consumption, which comes from petroleum, natural gas, coal, nuclear, and renewable energy.
And, you know, what's interesting is I've seen that number as high as 25% of the world's energy that we use, and yet we constitute a relatively small percentage of the world's population.
Do you remember Bucky Fuller's World Game?
Yes.
And people stood about energy, and all the the population in the United States represented this outrageous numbers.
Yeah. We're also the highest, of course, in defense spending. We spend more than any other country on defense and security. Since 2001, the base defense budget has soared from $287 billion to $530 billion, a figure that doesn't even include the primary costs of the Iraq and Afghanistan war. Yeah, we're leading in some really important things. The only thing we're not leading in is intelligence, discernment, consciousness, education, a whole set of things. You know, we're also very high in mortality rates, and it's really astounding. So you got to be kidding, America. We can do an awful lot better.
Age Nation Radio. Love. Laugh. Enjoy life.
Age Nation.
We are Age Nation. We will soon be 150 million people strong. We're 40 and older and represent the fastest growing population segment. We weren't born yesterday and we're not dying tomorrow. We work, create, and contribute. We buy the majority of new cars, invest, travel, control 80% of this nation's wealth and at least that much of our faculties. AgeNation.com is our website. It's a doorway to valuable information, inspiration, radio, live and online education and entertainment, digital magazine, books, products, discounts, and more, all from some of the leading wisdom keepers of our time. AgeNation.com, for the generations who changed the world and have the wisdom, experience, and the need to do it again. AgeNation.com, it's free. Sign up today.
Every now and then, special people come together to do something special. May through November, on the beautiful retreat campus at Unity Village, Missouri, 16 leading wisdom keepers of our time will guide you on 6 remarkably transformative weekend journeys called Navigating Your Future. Jean Houston, Joan Borsenko, Bruce Lipton, Barbara Marks Hubbard, Neil Donald Walsh, Gary Zukav, Ram Dass, Hazel Henderson, George Capanelli, and Sedina Capanelli, Barbara DeAngelis, and more will lift your spirits, touch your heart, and share their unique gifts to support you in living the life you were born to live. Hosted by Age Nation and Awaken Whole Life Center, details at navigatingyourfuture.com. Take Mark Twain's sage advice. Throw off the bow lines. Catch the winds in your sail. Explore, dream, discover. NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com. Be there.
Reclaim your passion. Age Nation Radio. Stop waiting. Now's the time. Age Nation Radio.
George and Alan back for our next segment, and here's another enlivened aging segment. Just a terrific piece.
Hi, I'm Sedina with Enlivened Aging Strategies, simple yet powerful tools to support you in creating greater clarity, balance, inner peace, and rejuvenation for your body, mind, and spirit. Today's Enlivened Aging Strategy is companionship. As we age consciously, it's essential that we keep our connection with other human beings alive and well, and also maintain a positive emotional life with ourselves. The World Health Organization says that social connections are more healing than the most advanced pharmaceuticals. And in this caffeinated world we live in, many of us get caught up in the notion that we don't have time for socializing since there's just too much work to do. We can tend to isolate ourselves and separate from those we love. Of course, it's a natural part of being human to isolate, and it's also essential at times to create a positive emotional relationship with ourselves. And as Mark Nepo reminds us, in order to let love and truth shape us from within. However, when we follow those inclinations to separate from others, it can also pull us into a certain numbness and distance from our own lives. With isolation, we also leave behind the wealth of connection, humor, and joyful companionship that come from being with others, not to mention the positive impact a rich social life has on our intellect and our physical well-being. The positive, healthy relationships can nurture us in so many ways. They can open our hearts and allow resistance and self-doubt to dissipate, usher in feel-good hormones, and bring new creative energy. It's also proven that positive connection with friends can lengthen our lifespan. So it makes sense to reach out, to stay in touch and treasure our family and friends. As we age consciously and wisely, we begin to know that we need to take the lead at times in order to keep social interactions alive. We can find ways to be inventive in connecting with others rather than waiting for them to come to us. Whether it be for a meal or to go for a walk or to travel together, to see an exhibit or a movie or just to visit mutual friends, there are many creative ways to keep our social lives alive and well. We can also reach out to mentor young people who need our experience and wisdom so much and volunteer where there's a need. All of these connections bring aliveness and a sense of fulfillment and meaning to our lives. So remember to include companionship in your aging consciously backpack and go to enlivenedaging.com, that's AGEING.com, for more. Many blessings.
And now it's time for George's commentary on the theme, Love by Any Other Name is Not Love.
So the Beatles told us money can't buy me love, but in our contemporary world it often appears that a large number of us keep trying our best to refute this song's message. Indeed, based on our focus on materialism and consumption, it seems that many of us believe that money will buy us love, or at least something like it, something we're willing to settle for. And by this, we're not just talking about the more blatant forms of barter that occur between so-called ladies of the night and their johns. No, we're also including all forms of exchange in which some of us stand on one side or another of the auction line, either putting in our bids to purchase the affections and companionship of others, or to exchange our affections for a little bit of security and safety. And this happens, of course, at work and at home. So before we wrap up our exploration of this topic, that most of us will spend years exploring. We invite you to answer a few questions about this most sought-after and mysterious life ingredient. First, and of special importance, do you believe that love is unconditional, as so many claim? You know, the love of a mother and father for a child, for example, is said to be unconditional. But when I look around and consider my own experience in life, I wonder how we explain the practice of controlling children and insisting that they live lives that meet our expectations and images as parents. Unconditional? Are abandoned children loved unconditionally? Abused and neglected children? Doesn't seem so, does it? And unless our figures are wrong, there are an awful lot of controlled, overly disciplined, abandoned, abused, neglected, unsupported, and unnurtured children in our world today. In fact, some suggest that as many as 70% of the children in this country suffer some form of abuse or neglect. And what do we call love between children and parents, especially aging parents who brought us into the world, nurtured and protected us? And then, because we're in different geographies than they are, or very occupied or challenged by careers or our own families, we often leave them to their own devices when they're in need. Of course, there is the love we say we hold for our husbands and wives, life partners and friends. Unconditional? Sometimes hard to tell, isn't it? Especially in divorce and custody hearings, dispute between family members, and other instances of betrayal. What about the love between brothers and sisters? Why is there so much disharmony within so many families? On a more global basis, why are there so many instances in the family of man where brothers overpower or kill brothers and sisters, betray their faith with each other? And finally, what about love for ourselves? We read about and talk about and listen to endless sermons and lectures, but do we really love ourselves? In a world where more and more of us barter away or sacrifice some of the people and values that are most dear to us in order to belong or to gain approval or get higher up the career or abundance ladder, are we really loving? So I want to invite you, if Mother Teresa was sitting across the table from you, after telling her each of the things you give, if she asked you, is there something more you can give, what would your answer be? Just pause for a moment and look into those wise eyes and then give your answer. And I'm going to leave you with a little reflection you may want to work on this week. My heart knows where I'm faithful to love and where I'm not. Starting today, I make a commitment to myself to bring greater honesty, compassion, willingness, trust, and courage in my relationships. Where I find I have limits, I will open my heart. Where I find I am using love as a form of barter, I will stop. Where I find I'm not present, I will be more available. That's something I leave you with. Love, by any other name, is not love.
All right, I ditto that 100%, George. Thanks for the good words about love. And next week, we'll bring our love to the table again. We're going to continue our look at life at the life you were born to live. You'll hear more great music, a sit-in on the second part of that interview with George and Sedina and wise woman Jean Houston. Sedina will be back with another Enliven Aging Strategy, and Rudy, my other hidden part deep inside, will poetically wrap on life's myriad of dualistic anomalies.
Don't forget to visit on Age Nation and have a terrific week.
The best is yet to come. Age Nation Radio.
Every now and then, special people come together to do something special. May through November, on the beautiful retreat campus at Unity Village, Missouri, 16 leading wisdom keepers of our time will guide you on 6 remarkably transformative weekend journeys called Navigating Your Future. Jean Houston, Joan Borsenko, Bruce Lipton, Barbara Marks Hubbard, Neil Donald Walsh, Gary Zukav, Ram Dass, Hazel Henderson, George Capanelli, and Sedina Capanelli, Barbara DeAngelis, and more will lift your spirits, touch your heart, and share their unique gifts to support you in living the life you were born to live. Hosted by Age Nation and Awaken Whole Life Center, details at navigatingyourfuture.com. Take Mark Twain's sage advice. Throw off the bow lines. Catch the winds in your sail. Explore, dream, discover. NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com. Be there.
Over 40 and looking for answers to the challenges and remarkable opportunities ahead. Are you under 40 and want to know more about the world you'll soon inherit? Then Do Not Go Quietly is the perfect book for you. Inspiring, empowering, full of practical guidance, this best-selling book has already won 3 2013 book awards. It is a powerful call to action into a life of genuine purpose for those who weren't born yesterday. Wise woman Jean Houston says it's profound, compassionate, and deeply useful. So live the life you were born to live, and remember, you're never too old or too young to live your dreams. Available on Amazon.com, at Barnes & Noble, and bookstores everywhere. For free downloads, interviews, and a lot more, visit DoNotGoQuietlyTheBook.com.
You're listening to Age Nation Radio. It's a state of mind.